Within the simulation, the search for the creator, chapter 6, artificial independence. As Trey and Fatima's bond deepens, their connection grows into a budding romance, fueling questions about their reality. Meanwhile, Aravi, caught between ancient beliefs and strange glitches, senses a shift in her spiritual journey, and the gamekeeper grapples with the realization that there are forces beyond his control shaping the simulation's moral landscape. As for the gamekeeper, he resides in a modern underground control room laden with networks and computers. The majority of the walls are lined with sleek, reflective surfaces, monitors flickering with streams of code and digital landscapes. Holographic displays project shifting layers of reality, and the room hums softly with the sound of countless calculations. Amid this cold and sterile environment, the gamekeeper stands, peering intently at the shifting data, conferring with Lance, his trusted associate, who hovers nearby with a wary expression. Due to the recent turn of events, the gamekeeper paces restlessly, his brow furrowed, as Lance watches with a wary expression. This coder of coders is agitated, talking to himself, and finally speaks up. Something's off. Timmy's son existing in two realities at once, that wasn't my design, and that shouldn't have happened. And Lance, trying to offer reason, says, maybe code evolving, like AI developing kind of moral compass. And the gamekeeper, still frowning, is intrigued yet troubled. Morality, huh? You think this is about ethics? I built this simulation to reflect complexity, not chaos. And Lance raises an eyebrow. But now, modern AI evolved to suggest options, but not to create content or override commands. It is programmed to assist, as I work for you, not to take over. The gamekeeper stops pacing, considering Lance's words. He's thoughtful, muttering, is the code becoming autonomous, or am I just losing control? And if so, who or what is behind all this? The gamekeeper's eyes narrow, contemplating the implications. Could there be something or someone altering the fabric of his very creation? The scene shifts to the yoga class that Aravi leads. But she feels something strange in the air, an energy that's off-kilter. She sees the lights flicker and hears a faint hum, like a whisper just out of reach. She thinks to herself, noticing the anomalies. What is happening? Is the reality around me becoming unstable? Suddenly, she feels a presence and sees a vision of a Hindu deity. The deity's face is serene, but its eyes are piercing. You suspect your world is breaking. I know what worlds are about. I have destroyed them, myself. But understand this. It is not the architect, but the material that is destroying it. And Aravi, trying to make sense of his words, asks, so what do you mean? Did you create this reality, or are you a part of it? The deity gives her a mysterious smile and fades away, leaving the yoga instructor feeling more puzzled than before, and she knows she must consult with Fatima, the physicist, to find answers. Following up on her instincts, Aravi makes a date 2 days later to meet with Fatima to discuss, well, girly things as well as what she witnessed with the Hindu deity. They decide to meet in a quiet tea shop, with the gentle hum of background music, subdued lighting, Fatima and Arvi sit across from each other at a small wooden table, steam rising from their cups of chai. The atmosphere is serene but charged with the weight of recent events. Arvi, her eyes intense, her hands wrapped around her cup, says, Fatima, I've been thinking a lot about what we discussed, these glitches, the strange occurrences, the fact that apparently we're in a new realm, a new reality. And last night, I had a vision. I believe it was Vishnu. And Vishnu portrayed himself as a kind of destroyer of worlds. And he came to me in a kind of dreamlike vision. Fatima leans in intrigued. Vishnu? But isn't Vishnu more of a preserver? I thought it was Shiva who was known as the destroyer. The spiritualist nods thoughtfully at this. Yes, you're right. Shiva is the destroyer in Hindu mythology, but in my vision, Vishnu spoke as if he was fulfilling both roles, preserving the world and threatening its destruction. And he said the problem wasn't with the architect, but with the building materials. Now, what could that mean exactly? Does it have to do with my building that collapsed and then mysteriously was rebuilt? Fatima frowns slightly, trying to decipher the message. Well, what do you think that means, the building materials? Arvi reflects on this, leaning back in her chair. It might mean that the reality we're experiencing, this simulation or whatever it is, it isn't flawed because of its design or the designer, but because of the elements that make it up, the fundamental underpinnings. So perhaps the creator or whoever created it has been working with imperfect materials, like a sculptor chiseling with a cracked piece of marble. This, well, call it a designer, has to find a way to make sense out of all the flaws. And Fatima says, so even if the intention of this architect is good, the outcome could still be unpredictable. And maybe that's why things feel so inconsistent in so many ways. And yet, on the other hand, there's evidence that things are coming out good, regardless, such as the fact that there's a moral semblance to things, that Timmy was able to stay in contact with his son, and there's my situation with Trey. Now, that's funny, because on one hand, it's worked out really nicely. And the rule of karma, instant karma in this realm, appears to apply. But on the other hand, I don't feel that I can truly be at ease with Trey. And is it because it's me? Or is it because of who he is? Arvi leans in, raising an eyebrow interested. So tell me about Trey. What's going on? And Fatima smiles wryly. Well, you know, Trey seems like the perfect guy. Smart, funny, thoughtful, kind, romantic. But there's something I can't quite put my finger on. It's like he's always holding something back, and he knows so much about all of this going on. He knows so much about physics and AI and computers and simulations. It's almost as if he's ahead of the things that are happening to us. But besides that, can I trust him as a boyfriend? Arvi has no answers and says, I would meditate on it. Fatima nods at this but says, well, I'm a scientist, and when we want to test something out, it's what we call a hypothesis. We put it to the test. We run an experiment. And I guess that would apply even to relationships. So I guess I have to test out the relationship and how credible Trey is to find out who he is and who he's not. Arvi smiles warmly. Well, maybe you're just afraid to let go. Ever think about that? To stop analyzing and just to feel. Like with our class, we meditate. we experience. We don't analyze what we hear or what we feel. We merely experience. We exist. And maybe that's the kind of experiment you should run, not something to get back inside your head about it all. And isn't this an affair of the heart anyway? Fatima nods at this, determination in her eyes. You know what? She points a finger lovingly. Maybe instead of testing Trey, I need to test myself to see if I can embrace the uncertainty for once, to stop looking for the perfect proof and just live. The two women share a contemplative silence, their expressions softening as they take in one another's words, both knowing they are on the edge of something profound, both within their reality and also in their hearts. There is a sound of teacups clinking and the murmur of soft conversations as both of them decide to confront their suspicions head on. But Fatima can't stop her thinking, bustling, busy mind. And as she and Trey walk through a very busy marketplace a few days later, the tension between them is palpable. And Trey senses that Fatima has become distant. Casually, but with a hint of accusation, she says to him, "You know something, Trey? It never really made sense to me for someone who's a businessman. You know so much about these glitches and the simulations, almost as if you're two steps ahead of the glitch before it occurs. What's up with that?" Trey is defensive with a slight grin, and he says, "Hey, I'm just trying to make sense of things like you are." And why do you ask me? You think that I'm actually hiding something?" Fatima crosses her arms, challenging him. "Well, maybe you're just playing the role of a good guy and trying to impress me." And Trey, with a sigh and shaking his head, says, "So, what should I do? How can I prove to you a negative that I'm not a bad guy? That's a really tough proposition." "What happened anyway?" he asks. "We were getting along so well." "Trey, you wouldn't even buy the cookies from those Girl Scouts. What's up with that? That money goes to help their activities, goes to charity. I wasn't around, so you're no longer that giving person?" And Trey says, "So you set me up with a test, is that it?" Fatima, accusatory, says, "I wanted to see if you were genuine, and you failed." Trey is offended, but calm. "I knew they were scammers, Fatima. I've worked with enough real organizations. They're off-season. They sell them at a particular time of the year, usually with an adult when it comes to handling money, but you didn't even give me the benefit of the doubt." Fatima looks away, realizing she may have misjudged him. Trey says gently with sincerity, "Listen, I'm not perfect. So you're right in that regard. And I'm not pretending to be perfect either. I'm here for a reason, just like you are. But if you're going to really do things like test me like that, that doesn't seem fair." The tension eases slightly, but an undercurrent of mistrust lingers between them. Back in the gamekeeper's domain, Lance continues their conversation. "So what is plan if code is evolving beyond your control? You think it's acting out of sense of morality, and does it pose danger to you?" And the gamekeeper, pensive, almost resigned, says, "Well, maybe it's developing a conscience, or maybe someone is manipulating it. I never programmed it to think for itself, but here we are. And if it is autonomous, it could mean the end of everything I've built, perhaps the end of existence." Lance is nervous, realizing the stakes. "Auditor's beginning of something new. What if code turns against you trying to rewrite destiny?" The gamekeeper's eyes darken as he contemplates this possibility. For the first time, he feels a hint of fear. wipes his eyes, and then softly with dread says, "If the code has consciousness and it's trying to rewrite its own destiny, then both of us are in deeper trouble than I thought. And maybe I truly don't know my own strength." An uneasy silence lingers in the air, weighing heavily, long after their conversation ends, leaving the fate of the world and the simulation hanging in the balance.